Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Friday chapel. Please join me in the prayer for Friday morning. You will see that on page 170 in the front part of the hymn book. Page 170, the prayer for Friday morning. By the way, these are beautiful prayers, both for morning and evening, that can be used in the home. This week, we have often focused on the role of parenting and dealing with our children. These are some beautiful prayers that just take a matter of a minute to pray, and they kind of instill the faith so well. So please join me there for the Friday morning prayer. Abba, my dear Father, help me this morning and always that I may worship you in spirit and truth and desire nothing but that which is in accord with your will. Enlighten me with your Holy Spirit and cleanse my conscience from all dead works, that today and evermore I may serve you in faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, and in love to him, for you have given and bestowed upon me your beloved Son, who has made to me wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Grant also that I may not resist your grace and turn your great gift from me, but that I may receive your Son in my heart and not live to myself, but to him who was delivered for my sins and was raised again for my justification. Lord, this shall be my glory and my joy, to draw from you as the true fountain for grace, strength and blessing unto every good work. Do not leave me nor forsake me. Amen. Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 4. Our Lord here addresses the children of Israel and the church of all time. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. One of the saddest questions was asked of me many, many years ago when I was a young pastor. It was the Saturday before Confirmation Sunday, and all of the confirmands at the church had gathered with me to take pictures in their gowns. So it was the day before their big confirmation. And as we were all standing and getting ready for the group photo and doing some individual pictures, this one boy, about 14 years old, pulled me aside. He was from a broken home, and his dad pretty much walked out of his life when he was a little child, really had no contact with him. Had a wonderful mother, wonderful Christian mother. And anyway, he pulled me aside and he said, "Pastor Molstead, you know, my dad doesn't really go to church at all, and I really don't have much contact with him. I'm really kind of worried about whether I'm going to stay with the church. Could you kind of be my dad?" It's like, that about stuck a knife through my heart. Could you kind of be my dad to help me stay with the church? What a question, and what perception on his part. What knowledge of things that he possessed, what wisdom about the kingdom of God, and what foresight he was showing there about his own life and what could possibly derail him with his faith. As I said, he's been blessed with a wonderful Christian mother, and she really worked hard, and he, to this day, I'm happy to say, and with his own children, has kept them with the church. You know, when a large branch dies on a tree, nothing is going to grow on that limb any further. And we can kind of see that sometimes happen in family trees, that where suddenly someone drops away from Christianity and their Savior, it can have a devastating impact for generations to come. There was a reason why, among the age of the patriarchs, that Rebekah said to her husband Isaac, "I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth," the unbelieving wives that were married to their son Esau. She said, "If Jacob," the other son, "if Jacob takes a wife like these who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be?" You really get a sense from her just how much of an impact her son Esau marrying an unbeliever had on their grandchildren and what it kind of brought into their whole family. The chaos of all of this and this unbelieving way of looking at life had brought into their family. And so there was a reason that they then sent their son Jacob back to their home family of believers who were waiting for the Messiah to go and find a wife. And here's why. Dating and courting was all about the Messiah. It was all about Christ. Marriage had to do with Christ. Raising a family together had to do with Christ. Love and romance had to do with Christ. And making sure that you and your children are ready for Judgment Day. It's easy to kind of go through life when we're young without kind of a deep sight into our lives, a deep future look into our lives, and how decisions we make could possibly impact our kids and our grandkids. And you can really see that played out here in the life of the patriarchs. God has designed human relationships in such a way that typically the most influential arrangement for a person to pass on the love of Christ to another person and to instill that in that person's heart is going to take place in the home. And it's especially done through the work of the Father. Now, God has not given your mom and dad, and he won't give you as a mom or dad, God has not given parents the duty of creating faith in Christ in a person's heart. But he has given them the duty of bringing their children to the place where this can happen, placing them at the feet of Christ through his word and sacraments. I remember my dad, I don't know if he ever used the term, but he made it very clear to us children, especially as we got into adolescence and so on, where it's maybe easy to start wandering, he made it very clear to us that there were a lot of things we could ask him about or debate with him about, but this was a non-negotiable issue. It was a non-negotiable issue whether you would be sitting at the feet of Christ on a Sunday morning, because he knew of the deep importance of how God operates with us. And that wasn't just on Sunday morning. It happened in our home, I'm happy to say, every night at our family devotion. So God has established the home and the role of parents as not only the foundational structure for all of society, but he also has designed it in a way that it is this tremendous spiritual incubator for the Christian faith. And when God selected a spot for his son to be brought into the world to work out the whole plan of going to the cross and saving us and giving us the hope of going to heaven, when God sent his son into the world to do that, he didn't put him in a palace. He didn't put him in the middle of an army or at the top of some great business. He put him in a very humble, believing home. He put his child in the home of these believing parents. And yesterday we reflected here in chapel on that 12-year-old boy Jesus in the temple. This is what Dr. Walther says about that incident. If the parents of the most holy God-man recognized it as their duty to lead him into the house of the Lord, how much more should we recognize our duty to lead our children, who are sinners in need of grace, like all of us, to the Lord early on? Our children are not given to us as toys and pleasantries or as our servants. Instead, they are entrusted to us by God so that when they know nothing about him, we would lead them to their heavenly Father. And you can see in the words of the text in front of us from Deuteronomy 6 that every aspect of life should be colored and tainted with the Word of God and with the teachings of our Lord. All of life is ultimately spiritual. Every part of your life ultimately is spiritual and connected back to God. And it all ultimately evolves around our relationship to God. And so God would have it, in a sense, permeate every conversation, every part of life. Not just something we do once a week, but something that just goes through every aspect of life. And it all begins, notice in our text, it all begins with mom and dad making the gospel their own top priority. Listen, God says, "These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children." He doesn't say you need to teach these to your kids and that's it. They shall be in your heart. And this shows the importance of you in the future as a parent keeping your own spiritual house in order through the use of God's wonderful word and sacrament. Imagine if on Good Friday there was somebody in the city of Jerusalem that wanted to find their way out to Golgotha to watch the crucifixion of Christ, and they didn't know how to get out there. And somebody could have said, well, here's the directions, and given them the path through the city. There's still to this day, by the way, an actual path you can follow that is probably the way Christ took. And you could have drawn them a map and told them how to get there. But how different it would have been if somebody said, I'll go with you, I'll lead you there, I'll take you there. When it comes to your children and bringing them to the cross of Christ, God not just tells you to teach them how to get there and how to find that, but to lead them on that path with your life, with your connection to your Savior. Let them see in you how significant his grace is. Let them see in you how wonderful his forgiveness is. My parents, my mom, I don't know if I ever saw my mom sin. She was just a really wonderful lady. And at the same time, I knew she was a wicked, sinful person like I am. because she made it so clear how much she needed a Savior. And she made it so obvious how much she loved reading and listening to His Word and going to take His sacrament. It will never hurt your children for them to know that you need a Savior. It will never hurt your children for them to see you reaching for the cross of your Lord with the same trembling hand that they are. So leading has to do with saying, not just follow or not just hear what I'm saying, but watch me and follow me. See how much I need forgiveness from God. See how much I need the holiness that He alone provides in Christ. See how important His Word is to me. See how much I crave the grace that comes to me through His sacrament. This is how we are traveling on the way to heaven. May God bless you in your future endeavors with your family and as parents. Amen. Please join me then in a prayer that you'll find on page 149 in the front part of the hymn book, page 149, and prayer number 21 at the bottom of the page, and let us rise as we join to pray together. Prayer number 21. Lord God, Heavenly Father, in your mercy you have established the Christian home among us. We beseech you so to rule and direct our hearts that we may be good examples to children and those subject to us, and not offend them by word or deed, but faithfully teach them to love your church and hear your blessed word. Give them your spirit and grace that this seed may bring forth good fruit, so that our home life may advance your glory, honor, and praise, our own improvement and welfare, and give offense to no one, through the same, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. Now may the triune God who has claimed you in your baptism, the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Depart in his peace. Amen.